Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. Yes, you have come again to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. In the studio with me today to be able to deal with the challenges that we have on this radio show, which aren't really challenges, they're opportunities, is Dukes in the house with me. Good to have you, brother.
It is so good to be here. Thank you.
Hey, we have a topic today. You know, you ever just kind of just sit and ponder at times? Not that you guys have time to ponder, but maybe sometimes you're sitting, maybe even in the bathroom, right? You're pondering, why am I doing this sort of thing? What is my purpose? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am, et cetera, et cetera. We're gonna kind of mess around with that a little bit and just see where that leads us. Just because it's one of the things that kind of pop in our heads, and that's what we talk about. What's going on in guys' lives, in their minds, and in their hearts, and so we just talk up front with that sort of thing, and. So that's what the topic is. But we always like to kind of kick things off a little bit with some encouragement that's going to be taking place and or has, and or encouraging you, I should say, not going to be taking place. The encouragement is down the road. But anyway, am I making any sense at all?
Yes, you're actually. That was very profound. Encouragement now and what's to come.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think?
Oh, I have one of those, yeah.
You always have one.
Yeah. Well, and I have good. An encouragement to share that came to me through another man, which is one of my encouragements when guys will do that. And I had a guest speaker, 68 years of marriage and 90 years old. And when he told his story, it was just what you said. It was a story of encouragement of what had happened and what was happening. But you knew that there was more to the story yet to come, and the encouragement was going to continue.
Yes.
And I guess everybody has their story, and as we know, our testimonies are what changes hearts.
Right.
So when this man gave his testimony, he wasn't particularly broken in an area, but at 90 years old, he'd seen a lot. Hmm. And he was able to share a lot of wisdom. The secrets to why he had been married for 68 years, for example, was a well-welcomed comment, I guess. Anyway, he was... very encouraging in that I saw what it looked like for a man that had committed most of his life to God, and that even though he had the challenges, he felt truly blessed and had a very healthy marriage and just kind of seemed to be a very happy sort of guy. So, amen. I was encouraged.
So I understand that he probably encouraged a lot of the older guys who kind of could relate a little bit. How did some of the younger guys take it? Did they receive it, you think?
Yeah, the older guys in the group, of course, could relate to some of the things the man talked about because of his age.
Okay.
What they saw was, I think, a confirmation that, because a lot of these guys knew this guy, their confirmation that he was a good brother to mentor. It was a welcomed friend. Hard to even put words to it.
Yeah.
And, of course, the younger guys were surprisingly attentive at what this 90-year-old guy was saying. It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because what were they searching for? What you and I would. Mm-hmm. That is the wisdom of, this guy's been through a few more battles than I have. I wonder what he's got to share.
Yes. Yes.
So, amen.
All right. Well, good encouragement.
Thank you.
You know, whenever a testimony is given and whenever our faith is increased, and you know what? That's one of the means of being able take the enemy out, you know, Amen. By the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So the blood of the Lamb's already been sprinkled and poured, I should say. And now all we need is to continue to hear that, what gives us hope and increases our faith. So,
Amen.
Amen. So let's kind of kick things off here a little bit with this thing called purpose. And I'm just going to go with a standard meaning of purpose that I just pulled up here on my little phone here. It says, purpose, the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. Now, that's no different than what you and I would or anybody else would really think. A purpose is the reason for which something is done or created for which something exists. And yet, you know that there's times when we sit there and go, why do I have to continue doing this sort of thing? Now, we're talking about our walk with Christ, right? That's kind of how you were talking about?
Yes. Because oftentimes, there's the challenges that I think it causes the reflection, at least it has in my life through my walk. There's been times when I thought, do I really want to do this? I mean, I would begin to question as Satan would plant doubt, you know, and disbelief in my mind. I would oftentimes have to revisit, why am I doing this? Kind of like some jobs that I've had that I really didn't care for, mm-hmm. let's say. I would work the job because I needed the paycheck versus the jobs that I've worked that the paycheck was secondary to the enjoyment of the job.
Yes.
But nevertheless, when you're challenged with different difficulties, as we've had a number of topics over the radio show, each time that I look at one of those things, there's many times that I've got to go back to, okay, why am I fighting this hard again? What is the payoff here? Because a very famous psychologist, I read something that he wrote once that said, all of our decisions are self-serving. Mm-hmm. I thought, wow, that really hit home. Really? You mean I can't rationalize this for some other reason? It's really somehow, and in a selfish way, I've mentioned on the show that there's different events that God has put in my life that have blessed me in such a way that I felt a little selfish by the experience almost,
yeah.
you know, but yet I'm to receive that blessing. So for men, I think oftentimes, at least, and I've learned this from other men I've spoke with and myself, there are times where you get to a crossroad more than once where you begin to question, is this God thing? Yeah, man, this doesn't seem to be working. Or what is it I'm doing wrong? Or are my prayers bouncing off the ceiling or whatever? And it causes us to go to that very root.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I think that when it comes down to our questioning on purpose, it's a subtle way, I think, of the flesh desiring instant gratification.
Oh, amen.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we sit there and we go, okay, been following the Lord for whatever length of time it is. And we put expectations on, I want to get beyond that, so this doesn't bother me near as much. And so you do the things that maybe you follow direction from a mentor or from other men that are saying, you know, go this route, do this. This will help benefit you being able to get through this. And when we start to do that, sometimes we expect a quick response or a quick change, or all of a sudden it's like it needs to take place, and it doesn't happen. So there's discouragement. See, there's something that discouragement that comes from the enemy. That's one of the red flags of, I believe, of that the enemy is in the area, okay? When we start becoming discouraged over things.
Yes.
Especially in how quickly we actually reply or respond or receive something that we put an expectation on, you know?
Well, isn't that evident in a lot of the emails that you get here?
Oh, yeah.
Where it's a believer most of the time,
yes.
and they're having that question.
Yes.
They're questioning that very foundation. But, you know, that's what Satan does, isn't it?
Yes.
He confuses, confounds, looks to blur.
Yes, yes.
Right?
And that discouragement comes by the simple fact is, why do you have to keep doing this? Because, you know what, you got other things you could be doing. You could you can come back to this later. You can do this later on in your life, especially as a youthful age, you know, physically, you know, there's a part of us that say, well, you know what? I can read the Bible more often, maybe in my retirement.
Yeah.
You know, when I've got more time off, right?
Yeah.
When there's less for me to do and there's kids are out of the, you know, I've gone through my marriage and done all the things, traveled the world and did all the things I was planning on doing or still planning on doing, yeah. Right?
Then I'll read the Bible.
Then I'll read the Bible and spend time with some of these guys in a men's Bible study or in a men's ministry or whatever. And see, I believe that's all a slippery slope. Because all of a sudden we start to believe the lie.
Amen.
Because we like the truth. And we think it's partly true, which that's what the enemy does. He mixes a little bit of truth in with the lie. So it's more, it's received easier. It's more believable. It tastes like peanut butter, but what do you mean there's something inside there? You know how you got to give your dog or, you know, a pill to take for his whatever it is.
Yeah, wrap him up in the peanut butter and the bread.
You put it in the peanut
butter
or something else, and he's eating that stuff. And after a while, the dog realizes, hey, you got something in there. He's going to lick all the peanut butter and spit out the pill.
Yep.
But my point being, we are the same way.
Yes, we are.
The enemy wraps that in something that's tasty, something that we could be deceived and all of a sudden to be able to take that in.
And, you know, Satan is so stealthy that he chooses the times in which you are ready to be in doubt.
Yes.
About the time that you have something come, let's say, unexpected. You and I have discussed how through relationship with other men and staying in the Word that we know that our first response is that of a conditioned warrior or someone in the army where we know right where to go, our knees in prayer, whatever it is. But before that time, before we were fellowshipping with guys, before we were bouncing this stuff around, it would take me out. I would get immediately discouraged. And as we've talked about here, we're not alone. It wasn't until I think that I found that I could call on somebody, call a buddy, a friend, my pastor, whatever it was, that I knew I could take this concern to them and they'd help me navigate through it in some way. We're all subject to that, and we're all subject to that doubt. And Satan picks just the time where he knows where you're going to be weak and that you might give in.
Yeah. You know, a big part of this purpose, here's, I believe, biblically, where we start to realize some of the things that why we're even here. Why were we even thought of? Why is it that I was born? Why was it that all of a sudden I wasn't born with a true mother and father who were actually married and everything? Why was I born in sin, out of sin? You know, maybe it was through an affair that maybe one of your parents had with someone else, and you're the recipient, or you're the reason, the product of that sort of thing, okay? And or why was it that, you know, they weren't even married, you know, and I don't even know who my father is, and all of, you start coming up with all of these things as to what is my purpose and stuff, right? So we start to realize that. I think that's where I, you know, getting into the Word of God, you start realizing certain things that are so, so important for us to be able to realize, because the Lord is trying to speak to us. He's trying to let us know of what our why He has us here, okay, and why He created us, you know. I mean, truly, if the Lord wanted, He could have given us opportunity to just make us a bunch of minions just to follow Him and to do whatever He wants us to do. But no, what He wanted to do is to be able to show His love for us, okay, and give us that opportunity to be able to live with Him. Now, we're not going to try to split hairs here and cross T's perfectly and dot every I here. But what it comes down to is that God has a purpose, and we don't know what that is. We truly don't, other than the simple fact that He wants us to live with Him eternally, okay?
Yes.
We're eternal beings. We're going to live for eternity, but what we do on this earth will determine where we're going to spend that eternity, okay, and how we're going to spend that eternity. What we do here is so vital, okay, and this is what we believe. And how do you get to that place of believing it? Well, first you got to become aware of something, right? And you become aware of the fact whether you were taught it or that you were a place in your own mind where you had to experience that you're powerless over doing the things in your life and getting through certain things. That's the way that I had to go. Mine was more of the educational variety. I had to keep hitting my head up against the wall and realize that what I so much wanted, you know, that, you know, it's not working. Now, I can make a lot of things happen. I can make a lot of noise. But I'm not the one that makes it work. I'm not the one that makes that become a concert, all that noise, become a symphony. Okay?
Yes.
But the Lord does. He does that.
Yes, he does, and it helps eliminate some of that white noise. You know, what comes to mind is something that David Wilkerson, who preached for 50-some years, in one of his dissertations on anguish, he says, we just want to be happy. He says, that's all we really want is just to be happy.
Yep.
So as we pursue happiness, we're questioning that purpose. But, you know, as fathers, and for listeners that are fathers, we know that what's the purpose in us having our children?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not necessarily a big advocate of procreation. Let's populate as many as we can. It's because I wanted to give birth to another being that would love me and I could love them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so my relationship with God is one of he loves me. I love him back. That's the gig. That's the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
He created us for his purpose, for his love,
mm-hmm.
for his glory.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to be able to recognize that, we need to just seek him all the time in everything.
Well, you know what? Let's take a break. Let's come back and let's talk about this purpose. What do you believe is God's true purpose for, let's go with the very first man that he created, Adam? What was the first gift that Adam received from God when he was aware of what was going on? What was the very first gift that he got? We'll be right back. You're listening to Banner Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
When you feel like you're alone in your sadness, seems like no one in this whole world cares, and you wanna get away from the madness. You just call my name and I'll be there. You just call my name and I'll be there.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, Duke and Raul, and we're here to talk about the purpose of man, why we are here, and maybe to answer some of our own doubts and everything, and if nothing else, maybe stir some things up in ourselves. So I asked a question here before we went to the break. I said, what was the very first gift that God gave man? And that man, of course, was Adam. What was the very first gift? And of course, you know, like anybody else, most people, and the first time I heard it, I just thought, wow, okay, well, he gave him the garden. He gave him, somebody had said, you know, went beyond that and said, he gave him a wife, a woman, you know.
That was after a while.
Yeah, yeah, right. But that's where the guy's head was thinking,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm thinking sight, touch, you know.
Yeah. Well, but the way that was, that I was received it, the way that it was told to me is that the very first gift that God gave man, or Adam in a sense, was his presence.
Hmm.
God's glory, his presence. He had to become aware. Just think about it. When we would just wake up from slumber, whether it's a nap or an overnight sleep, and we wake up, you kind of just, there's a moment of getting clear when you open your eyes, right?
Yes.
And to be able to be awakened to the glory of God, and God began communicating with him at that point. I'm not even going to say that he was talking with him, because I don't even know if that was if there was a language or that was already done. I don't know how, you know, we can only go with what we have read here. But God's presence. That's the reason that we are created. We're created as eternal beings. So not only did he create Adam in the same manner as he created us, or vice versa, however you want to look at that, that's what we're here for, is to spend eternity with the Lord. That's really what it comes down to. And while we're here on this earth, this is only just a little stepping stone into eternity. And as I was told also, when I became a follower of Jesus Christ, one of my mentors had told me at that point, says, you know, your eternity has just begun, because you become aware of it. Your eternity has just begun. So this, we are in our eternity, okay, learning here on this earth to know more about what the Lord, understanding him, not so much understanding him as accepting him, knowing more about him, okay? We're not going to be able to control him.
No, not at all. But this is an extreme Christianity, or you think it's Christianity 101. It's belief. It's the foundation I was talking about, that when I would get shaken, or I see other men shaken, we have to revisit just what you said.
Mm-hmm.
We have to revisit that purpose, that deity, that how come. And, you know, King David had referred to this. He says, another part of our purpose is to see life on this earth in perspective, is kind of how this reads. Unlike those whose focus is on this life, King David looked for his satisfaction in the time to come. He said, and I'm in righteousness, I will see your face when I awake. I'll be satisfied with seeing your likeness, Psalm 17:15. To David, the full satisfaction would come on the day when he awoke in the next life, beholding God's face. And here you're just talking about the presence of God. Imagine what Adam saw, felt, the presence of God. This is what David's looking forward to. So it still goes back to the self-serving, my purpose, what am I supposed to be doing, why do I care,
yes,
why am I willing to fight the good fight, what is the benefit to me? And here David just describes what we can't even fathom, which is, what would it be like to open our eyes in the morning and be surrounded by the presence of God in that way?
You know, and we hear and others' experiences of how the Lord impacted their lives, right? And we so desire to have that same experience. Maybe not the same way that person who's sharing it, because for whatever reason it just didn't feel right. But I want the hope. I want to receive what they received. But sometimes I don't want to have to go through what they went through to get it, okay? I want the shortcut version.
Of course.
You know, I want the less painful. I want the more comfortable way of being able to do this. But that isn't the way it's supposed to come. Because it's going to – he gives us opportunity for choice. Now, we're not going to get into predestination and foreknowledge and all of that to be able to try to get this down to a certain point. But we're going to keep it simple here, in a sense, because really what it comes down to is that we need to believe, to believe truly in our hearts, okay, in believing that the Holy Spirit will give us the grace to be able to do what he wants us to do in our lives.
Amen.
Because it's not just about belief, because for that matter, it talks about, the Bible says that the devil believes, and all of his demons believe. Okay,
yes.
They believe in God. They know what his power is. They know what he can do. They were angels at one time, okay, that worked for him and were with him, and they turned away from that. Okay, my point being is that, so it has to be more of a heartfelt thing, and then being able to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to seek you in everything that I do.
Amen. And you know, I would visit this, why am I doing this? Where's my strength come from? And all of that. I also had to reflect on, wait a minute, doesn't the scripture say that we were created in his likeness?
Yes.
And aren't we wired, and that's a 21st century term, but aren't we wired to feel, I guess, significant, purposeful?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not many of us we're not challenged unless we're looking to, I guess, build, construct, be, you know, make our mark, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at our very core, we want to be purposeful, and that's why we question, what is our purpose? There's a greater power. What is this greater power? how's this influencing me,
right,
and does it suit my purpose,
right,
or do I want to serve his purpose,
yeah,
and get,
yeah,
that?
You know, I think a big part of this is that it comes down to that we are to glorify God. We're going to be doing that for eternity, glorifying him in heaven, okay? Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I know I'm not unique. I would think sometimes my thought life would go in this direction of, man, that's going to be kind of boring after a while. I don't know if I can hold my hands up that long if I'm going to be because I'm thinking of a worship,
right, right,
type of situation where there's music or maybe the harps are going or whatever. I'm in this light that is basking my whole body, and I'm just going, oh, my goodness, you know. I'm thinking, this could get boring. I'm going to do this for eternity. Is this going to be boring? You know what? There's going to be a different mindset that takes place. We're going to be in the spirit. We're going to be given a new body, but it's going to be different than it is right now. See, this is just a stepping stone for us to learn how to be able to spend time in his presence here on this earth and to let others know of him. I believe that is what our purpose is. He says to love me. Love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yes.
Everything you have. And then the second, as he says, the second commandment that he said, that all the commandments fall into these two categories. The second is like it. To think of others more highly than yourself. Or love others as you love yourself. So truly what it comes down to is not about me.
Mm-mm.
It's about the Lord. And others, letting others know about him. Because what ends up taking place as a result of the miracles that take place in our lives, and this is why sometimes we need to have brokenness in our lives, so that we see a healing that is done by God. It could only be him.
Yes.
Okay? And in doing so, that's when we end up sharing that with other people, because that's what we're called to do. You know, we're not all called to be, you know, Billy Grahams and evangelists that are world renowned and all. No, we're called maybe just for specific people that we need to reach. God wants us to be able, and we don't know who those are. So that means that everybody that we meet, we need to be Christ-like.
Yeah, well, you never know.
That's right.
You could be talking to an angel, they say.
That's right.
So, no, we don't know. And I wholeheartedly embrace and agree with all of that. You know, it still comes down to this choice, that self-serving idea of, as much as I hate to admit it, even as I navigate through the day, I'm thinking about myself, I guess.
Yes.
Now, it may be to serve others, but I still, it's the old saying, I can't take care of others if I can't take care of myself. So I tend to be self-serving in that way. But I love it when another man is, or person, but especially another man, is challenged with this proposal of, okay, I'm really tired. I go to the Isaiah 40, 29 through 31 with the if you're weak and weary, I will give you the strength. You know, even the young get weary.
Mm-hmm.
And I should probably pull up the scripture to read it. But it was that confirmation that you're not alone. It's going to be tough. Mm-hmm. Keep fighting the good fight, because the purpose is a worthy purpose. I myself look at the alternative. Of all the choices out there, one thing's for sure, the only proposal that has any inkling of hope or love or is that of God.
Yeah.
The world doesn't offer any of that with any longevity, and it will let you down every time. So I think about, okay, what's the alternative here? If I'm not seeking to be purposeful and joyful and reaching out to others, maybe being a blessing of them. So here is in Isaiah 40, 29 through 31, where it says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles and will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Oh, my gosh.
So a big part of this is basically, once again, is realizing, and you had mentioned it, that we're self-serving in a sense. That we want to be able, we can't give something away we haven't got. We can't help somebody else unless we're taking care of ourselves. But we're not taking care of ourselves because we, in that prideful manner, okay, in that selfish type of manner. It's in that I want to make sure that I take care of everything that God has given me so that I can do His will
Amen.
In my life. That's what it comes down to. It doesn't mean that you're not supposed to, you know, you need to live in a cave and, you know, eat the roots of whatever to be able to sustain, to be able to. No, no. The Lord wants you to be able to reach people, but He also wants to give you purpose. But also part of that is He wants us, does not a father love to see his children, no matter what age, being happy?
Oh, yes.
And joyful.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when we see our toddlers or grandchildren that are toddler age and they're joyful and smiling and they're in your backyard and you're having a barbecue or you're at the beach or at the lake fishing with them or whatever, they're just having fun. They're enjoying life. They're enjoying the moment. As a father, okay, or a grandfather, doesn't that just get your heart? Of course it does. Because that's exactly how the Lord looks at us. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to enjoy what He has given. He says, don't love the world and all the things that the world gives. He's not talking about the earthly things. He's talking about what the enemy has been saying. Oh, go desire this. This idol will be better for you. If you buy this idol, you can have this. If you go there, you'll have this. No, if you follow what the Lord says, He's going to give you that joy that is everlasting. Okay. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and then we're going to continue on this type of thing about purpose. Hopefully, we're hitting on some cylinders here, maybe all completed cylinders by the time we're finished up here. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Need more in-depth biblical counsel on a specific subject? Check out our latest of recommended books on the Band of Brothers page at faithplace.org.
I don't know about your body, but my body loves protein. That's right. And when I think about delicious protein, I think about Hempler's pepper bacon, Hempler's hams, Hempler's bun buster hot dogs, Hempler's chorizo, Hempler's chicken sausage. It's all so delicious, and I don't have to worry about extra fillers. The entire Hempler collection of smoked meats is completely free of allergens, gluten, and MSG, and it's made with care from their family to yours, using the Hempler family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. To learn where you can purchase your own Hempler's meat, visit Hempler's.com.
You're busy and the last thing you want to worry about is lawn work. What if someone else took care of that for you? If you live in Northwest Washington, Kane's Lawn and Garden can take that job off your to-do list. With almost 30 years of experience, you know they have satisfied customers who continue to rely on them year after year. Kane's Lawn and Garden can provide as little or as much as you need. Mowing, edging, pruning, fertilizing, weed control, and even general property cleanup. Take advantage of special pricing right now. Request a quote by visiting their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. That's Kane's, spelled C-A-I-N-S, lawnandgarden.com.
I breathe. Hey, there's your purpose. The breathe.
Yeah. Life.
Life. There you go. Anyway, you had something you wanted
to
read there.
Our purpose in life as God originally created man is listed here. One is to glorify God and enjoy fellowship with Him. Two, to have good relationships with others. That's love me, love others, right?
Yeah.
Work, because we need to know that we're purposeful. We're making our mark, that we're intentional. And four, have dominion over the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I remember right, that was one of the first things that God gave Adam.
Yeah.
Dominion over mm-hmm. all the earth, I think he said, wasn't it?
Yep. With everything that was taking place. But, you know, all of those things that you just read there are what Adam actually was given. The glorification, the glory of God, okay? The awareness of Him.
And that's available to me.
Brother, it's, you know what?
Just like Adam?
Just like Adam. Amen. Here's the thing. In the book of Revelation, on the 66th book of the Bible, Jesus says through the Apostle John to us that, I hold this against you, that you have forgotten your first love. And that first love was truly, we're not talking about your love of the your girlfriend or your whoever it was at that time. He's talking about him.
Yes.
Your love for the Lord, where you actually said, hey, I want to be obedient to you. You saved me, and you brought me into a place where I thought I'd never be. But here I am, okay, and I love it. And as a result of that, somewhere along the line, the enemy uses discouragement and all his other tactics to try to get us off course of knowing the Lord even more. Before you know it, it's kind of like that, you know this, when you're in a boat, okay, and you have a course, and you have this course that you stay on. If you come off of that course, even by 1 degree or 2 degrees,
yes,
over a period of time, you are separated. You'll miss the mark. You'll miss the mark when you get to it, okay? It's figure it out. You can see that easy enough. That's what happens with us. We think, oh, I'm only going to do this right now, and I'll come back to that. Or I'm just going to, maybe I'll just sin just a little bit, or just a little bit of sin, or just the little sins, whatever you want to do. And I'll come back to that. I'll still come to church. I'll still come together with the other men. I'll still, just a little bit.
Satan's got you right where he wants you when you're listening to that.
What you're going to end up doing is you're going to miss the mark.
Yep.
You're going to miss the mark somewhere down the road. But anyway, the glory of God, that's God's presence. That's what he wants. He wants us to acknowledge him. When we acknowledge him in all we get, I give you the analogy of a father looking at his children.
Yes.
And smiling and laughing and having a good time. Not just happy, joyful. It's from their heart. And we felt like that at times, and sometimes we can't even recall those times. But he wants you to recall what those were. You have them. You've had them. And you have more yet to come if you continue seeking the Lord. But what ends up taking place as a father, you end up looking at this. And if the children look at you, they wave at you and they say, hey, come play with us. Or, they acknowledge you as the reason that they're there. If they're at the park having a good time, and so it's because you took them there.
Yes.
They're acknowledging you, okay? And how's that make you feel as a dad? You sit there and you go, that's just love, right? You just go, oh, that just feels so good, right? You may not acknowledge it in a conscious level, but there's something inside that we receive it. That's how God the Father looks at us. I think insurmountable 10 million, billion times more than what we can imagine. That he feels that, okay? All the more that when we do something that is sinful, that separates us from him, it breaks his heart.
Oh, and we know that as fathers. Look at how many children are turning left, I would say, instead of turning right. And me as a parent, I have one of those children, and it tears me up and breaks my heart because she's not living a purposeful life as God designed her to, and she's listening to the lies. And you want that. So you can only imagine the heart of God, the anguish that he has for his children. And there's a way that we can tell. I think we're, we talk about being wired. We're wired to know the difference, brother. Yes. That, and the example that I would give guys, because myself, is I knew whether I was seeking God, following him or not, even when I was not a believer, I knew the difference between good and bad.
Yes.
And I would question, why do I care? Why do I give a rip? Well, you know why? God gave us this thing, this heart, that I can tell when he activates it. For example, you ever said something that you feel like you just swallowed a lead ball?
Hmm.
Or did something that you knew was probably not the right thing to do, and it kind of bugged you.
Mm.
And then we've had the experience where we did something and just felt lighter than air, just felt joyful.
Yep.
That's when we know that we're working his purpose, that we're working towards his purpose.
Yes.
That's the confirmation, I believe, he gives each one of us, because what does it do? Joy, that's what I want. It's self-serving. It feels great. So that's my confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the Holy Spirit dwells in me, and through these brothers that are listening and these different events throughout the day, you know that you're serving his purpose and being purposeful when you get that feeling.
Yes.
And it feels great.
Yes, yes. And, you know, one of the things I think, there's so many things of how we are to go about. We think that sometimes I've been doing this so long this way, I can't change it. I can't change it. There, first off, you're not going to find the word can't in the dictionary. Let's just change it and be real here. You don't want to change it.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not a matter that you can't. You don't want to. You don't want to have to go through the challenges of changing it. You don't want to have to go through the discomfort of changing it. You don't want to go through your pride or ego being bumped and bruised as a result of changing it. It's not that you can't. You desire not to. You make a choice. Okay? Brother, this is not a judgment or condemnation. I've done the same thing.
Oh, we all have. Yes.
And the simple fact is that until we start to see things and feel that desire to do it to please God, we are not able to do anything, you know?
Amen. So, that's the love your brothers yourself. That's the, you and I know that when we reach out to another brother, help them out, it's almost selfish because we feel better.
Yes.
Whatever's going on.
Yes.
There's a purpose, brother. That's something to live for.
So the hope is that to realize that first that we have a relationship with God the Father because of Jesus Christ, because of his sacrifice on the cross, that he took on the wrath of God because of our sins, not just the sins that had been committed before he went to the cross, but the sins that would always be taking place
future.
After the future
Amen.
Ones, okay? Our sins.
Yes.
Okay? And as a result of that, we've been given an opportunity to go directly to God the Father in prayer. We no longer have to go through a priest or someone else to be able to take our prayers and prayer requests to God, okay? We can do it directly ourselves. We can have that relationship with him because of Jesus. And that is why when Jesus left this earth, he said, I'm going to leave you with a counselor. The Holy Spirit is going to be with you until I return, you know, and he's going to live in you. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God's Spirit that lives in us. Brother, you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have him in you. You just have to acknowledge. You have to be, just ask him, Father, give me the courage and the strength to do these things that I say I can't do. That you've given me enough courage, help me to realize that it's there. And that you put men in my life to help support me and hold me up in prayer. And that you've given me a life with people in my life, whether it be my children or maybe my wife or maybe just parents or maybe just whomever it is that's in my life. There's a reason for it. And you're the reason. Thank you, Father, for giving me this. And as a result of that, now we get to that place of saying, Father, forgive me for where I have done harm. And as a result of asking for forgiveness, if it's heartfelt and we can't keep it from him, we can't hide it from him, we can't lie to him. He knows everything that's going on. Brother, you're now bringing a smile to his face. Today is the day. Now is the time. Those people that we've harmed, those people that need to hear the love from us, not hoping that they'll forgive, because I will tell you this, they may not forgive us, but God forgives us. And that's what really matters at that point. And we're to continue loving everybody, whether they're lovable or not.
Amen.
And you know what? As a result of that, we're start to become more Christ-like. My goodness, you know, Jesus was spat upon. Men scourged him. And he asked the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Hmm. You know, we're to be more Christ-like. Is it really important that we're right with our wives? That we need to tell them, no, this is the way it's going to happen because I'm the head of the household?
Yeah.
Oh, brother, we start talking like that, there is something askew. Something is not quite right in our heart and in our mind. God gave us our wives to be our helpmates, to be there with us. So acknowledge them as that. Brother, there are things that are taking place in your life that you know that God would love to see you be rid of that, to give it to him so he can just throw it away. to throw it in the deepest part of the ocean, never to be risen again, you know?
No, and there's times that we question exactly what our topic is today is, what am I doing here? How come I'm here? What is my purpose? And only by restoring fellowship with God through faith in Jesus Christ can that purpose in life be rediscovered. And I have to rediscover it. I mean, I almost feel like I have to apologize, but that's the world. But I have to rediscover right. it frequently so that I remember and that I can stay in communion with him, because Satan has given me every opportunity to make a different choice every moment.
Yes.
Even to the point is what you said, one of the ways that I encourage the guys and I myself, when I start out in prayer in the morning, I'm doing similar to what you just said. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, Lord, show me. Thank you for all that you're allowing. Allow me to see what it is I don't see today.
Yes.
And show me in such a way that I can receive it.
Yes.
That kind of a thing.
Absolutely.
Only he knows those things.
Yes.
But doggone it, if you don't ask, you're never going to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, brothers, if you're feeling like, why am I doing this? Why is it so hard? And all that other stuff. And you're losing sight of the prize, the promise of eternal life. Just rediscover God's purpose for you through his word, fellowship.
Yes. Now, one of the things is so important, just even by listening to this radio show and being encouraged this way, brother, and maybe turning away from some of those lifestyles that are not conducive to a good relationship with Jesus Christ, the enemy is going to increase the temptations. He's going to increase the opportunities that he's going to use to get you off track. You're created to be a mighty man of God, okay? You have the access to the power of the universe. It's not your power, it's his power. And as a result of that, the enemy is going to have to deal with you. How cool would it be to know that the enemy is looking at, there's Duke, he's waking up. Oh, no. Him saying something like that about you. And brother, that's what we want. Let's let the Lord use us the way that he chooses to use us. Let him manifest his ways through all that we do so that others may see the difference in us. You can do it. You can do it. You've been given the courage and the strength one day at a time. Brother, how about a great topic? How about praying for our brothers here?
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just anoint each one of the listeners today to rediscover your purpose for them, the joy, the promises, that they can put the world behind and not listen to the lies. I ask for this direction for all the listeners. In your precious name, in this day, amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you, brother. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you shalom. Brother, there is hope, and you definitely are not alone.